Say after me, 2015,
Thy kingdom come on earth,
Thy will be done,
as it is in heaven.
Christ will be revealed,
Church will be reformed,
City will be revealed.
We will see
the manifestation
of the kingdom.
Will be the demonstration
of the kingdom.
We'll speak the transformation
of the kingdom.
We're now talking about greater dynamics in church reformation. First is the word dimension. Second is the spirit dimension. The third is the life structure. Are you listening? Let's go to number four. It's called the Heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the Heavenly Jerusalem. Write this down, the pattern to bring back through worship. Selfless sacrifice. The pattern to bring through worship. Selfless sacrifice and honorable service into the house. To bring back the pattern of true worship. Selfless sacrifice and honorable service. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and serve Him only. This pattern must return. People must not just be attending church and become spectators. They must become worshippers. Worship the Lord thy God and serve Him only. Amen. It's not about a worship service. It's about worshippers. It's not about worship service. It's not that. Not Sunday morning. Worship is a lifestyle.
Yeah.
I say worship is a lifestyle.
Yes.
The woman that Jesus changed her life, you told her about worship.
Yes. Yes.
John chapter 4. The Bible says that this woman came to draw water. In verse 7, John chapter 4, verse 7, there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Are you listening?
Yes.
He spoke to her and said, "Give me a drink," but he never drank, he never ate. My meat is to do the will of Him who sent me. If you're doing God's will and speaking to people, something supernatural is going to happen.
Yes.
You're going to draw them out.
Yes.
But they have a conflict in their hearts. We wish we can draw wholesome people, healthy people, good people. But people have their own problems. And you tell them one thing, they are responding in another way. How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me water from a woman of Samaria?
Yeah.
You're saying the right thing, but they are responding the wrong way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not because they want to, but they cannot help it.
Yes.
That's why the power of God must work within our hearts. Are you listening?
Yeah.
You must know what you carry.
Yeah.
I say you must know what you carry.
Yeah.
You're ministering to a dying world. Ministering to a world in conflict. First, she talked about the first conflict of gender. Therefore, the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, seek water from me?" The Bible is very clear to talk about a woman and a man. Gender issues. burn in people's hearts. Not only gender issues, racial issues, cultural issues. Are you listening?
Yes.
But Jesus kept on. The problem with us is when people throw the what is called a red herring, you stop doing what you're supposed to do. They respond wrongly, you turn away. You thought you failed. But Jesus is no failure. He knew why he was approaching this woman. This is the strength of ministry that God has given to us. If there's a gender issue, racial issue, we know how to steer clear of all the conflicts, the cross currents. Are you listening? Because we got to draw them out. We're not confronting on these issues. Are you listening? In chapter 4, verse 1. Are you following this?
Yes.
We've got to establish a pattern of true worship, selfless sacrifice and honorable service. But the people we receive have all kinds of conflicts. They are going through all kinds of problems. They've been messed up by the world before they came to church. Some of them have been messed up by other churches before they come to your church. Are you listening? Some of them will be messed up. Sometimes we don't receive the best. We receive those who are in debt. Those who are discouraged. Those who are defeated. Those who are in debt. Those who are disappointed. But you must know how to steer clear and still save them. This is the gracious power God has given to us. A supernatural power that we can override all the conflicts. We will not be stuck in the conflicts. Rise above, we touch them. Touch them so deep that they become city changers. World changers. You change one life, you change the world. In fact, you change one life, you change their world. Are you listening? That's why when you come to All Nations Sanctuary, we welcome you. Because touching God is our passion. Changing life is our priority. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, he left and went away again into Galilee. What an amazing verse. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was making more disciples and baptizing more than disciples of John. Are you listening? Why were they interested in Jesus or John? They were not interested in both of them. They wanted John and Jesus to collide. So they were playing religious politics. Are you listening? But Jesus knew exactly what to do. He stood clear and left. Are you listening? And now he comes to this woman. Give me some water to drink. She said, why is it you're asking me? She had racial conflicts. She had gender conflicts. She had cultural conflicts. All the pain of history. Past. But Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and who is it that's speaking to you, you would ask for living water. And your life will change forever.
Yes.
And now she threw in another conflict. So you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then would you get the living water? The other conflict is this. People come to think that what they're doing is right, except that they're not doing it right. So they still insist that they are right. It's this well, if we go deeper than what I'm doing now, there'll be living water. That's why people stay in false religion. This is deception. It is this well. I'm not wrong, but I'm in the right place. Maybe I'm doing it wrong. If I go deeper in the same well that I'm digging, I'm going to get better. That's why they stay in their own dying churches. Are you listening? I'm trying to show you how to get these people out. so that you know the world you're ministering to. You say, what I'm doing is right, my religion is right. The church I'm going to is right. All I need to do is go deeper than what I'm going now. Got to stay here, go deeper, the living water is going to come out. At this moment, it's just ordinary water. But the living water is here. I'm not moving, I'm not changing. Are you listening? This is the deception people carry. That's why dying people stay in dying churches. They refuse to move. They will never leave the Catholic Church. They will never leave their churches. Why? Because they think it's only a matter of time. I got to go deeper than what I'm going. Maybe I should tithe more, pray more, stay more, burn more candles. Are you listening? Maybe go for more services. But they are really stuck. It's called deception. Do you understand this? She didn't hear what you were saying. Then she threw another conflict. You're not greater than our father Jacob, are you? Who gave us his well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle. You're not greater than John Wesley, are you? You're not greater than the Presbyterian fathers, are you? Are you that great? He gave us his well. He started this denomination. Who are you compared to our father? You are not greater. All because Jesus asked for a drink. Are you listening? You are not greater than our denominational head. Our forefathers started with signs, wonders and miracles. Who are you? That's why some of the denominational conflicts, I went to Australia and had so many conflicts with the leaders. Because they said, who are you? Are you greater than our forefathers? It's not a conflict. I was still clear. Jesus did not answer concerning Jacob. Because he changed Jacob. Before Abraham was, I am. And he's not going to fight with this young girl who's messed up her life. Are you listening? He stood clear from all the colliding waves. Are you listening? Don't pick up a fight that is not the Lord's. Don't pick up a fight people put you to. Are you hearing?
Yes.
You're not greater than our father Jacob, who drank from this well and gave us water. His sons and his cattle. Then Jesus spoke to her. Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I'll give him shall never thirst. But the water I give him will become in him a well, springing up to eternal life. Stay on course. Stay on course. Keep speaking what needs to be spoken. Don't change. The problem with pastors is that they keep changing the message according to the response of the people. That simply tells you, you don't have a message. You don't carry the right thing. They talk about the Jewish culture, they talk about race, they say something, you just change the whole message. But Jesus was persistent. Throwing gender issue, cultural issue, racial issue, he didn't take anything, he didn't bite the bait. Are you listening?
Yes.
When we went for the interview with the education ministry, they throw in all kinds of questions, hoping that we will bite the bait. Yeah. But we stayed clear. We told them education is not Muslim, it's not Christian, it's not Chinese, it's not English.
Yeah.
Education is education.
That's right.
We are here for values.
Yeah.
But sometimes when people throw in a spanner, you get knocked off. Are you listening? Because you really don't have a clear mind. You want to bring back the pattern, you got to have a clear mind. Are you listening? The pattern of true worship. Let's find out how Jesus worked at it. And he spoke to her and said, the water that I give to you shall become in you a well, So he began to divert attention toward life inside. Are you listening?
Yes.
To life inside, not life outside, but life inside. The water that I give to you, say, the water that he gives to me,
will become in me a well,
springing up to eternal life.
What
he deposited
in me
will spring up.
But
first he
must become a well.
I must well it.
I must
build it.
I must
contain it.
I must
grow
it.
Until it will spring up.
What springs up
will continue in time.
It will
bring me eternal life.
So
I must concentrate
what
God put inside
me.
This is the first thing that he needed to explain to her. It starts from within. Doesn't matter how great your father was, you got to contain it. Doesn't matter what culture you come from, you have to contain it. Are you listening? Doesn't matter what culture, doesn't matter what race. Is it better? I'm asking the sound desk. Everybody is sound now. Is it better? God gave you a sound mind. It is needful, say it's needful, that I concentrate on what he gives me. It starts from inside. Doesn't matter how great my father was, I have to carry the life. It's beyond culture.
Beyond race,
beyond nationality,
beyond gender.
It comes from above.
The
water he gives me
has
capacity to grow.
But
I must be responsible
to
contain it
and
stop it from contamination.
I must guard
it. I must put a well around it.
So
the waters
from the outside
will not contaminate
what's
on the inside.
And
I've got to grow
it.
I've got to mature
it
until it springs up
and
begin to
go beyond
my life,
beyond
my
boundaries,
and spring
up
and touch
other people.
That's the concept we had to put inside her.
Sometimes
we are very careless.
The water
he gives to us,
we don't
contain it.
When
you put a well,
it's
to prevent the
rushing
waters.
They
come by night
in
the rain.
All
the mud and
all the
slit that
comes along
can enter,
but
it cannot enter
because
the well
is deep.
So
the water
had to seep in. By
the time it
seeps in
right through
the ground,
it
cannot contaminate
the
water that's in the
well.
Do you have some
imaginations?
Yes.
Good.
Some of
you look like
you're not thinking.
Can
you see?
Yes.
Can you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's why the water
has to be
fordered.
The
well has to be
built in
such a way that
the
contamination
does not
touch the water.
You
are responsible
to
keep everything
God is putting
into your
heart.
Because there will
be no
true worship from
you.
There will
be no
true
selfless
sacrifice from
you.
There will
be no
service from
you
if that
contamination
takes place.
Yes.
The pattern starts
from
within.
It
starts with what
God
put into your
heart.
The water
is the word.
The dimension of the word, when it springs up to eternal life, is the life of the spirit. The word of and the word and the spirit, that dimension must be inside. Are you listening?
Yes.
That's why the Bible says those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
Are you hearing me?
Yes.
and born again by the power of His Word.
Yes.
Are you listening?
Yes.
Let's go further. Let's just try to pick this up so that we can learn the pattern. In verse 15, the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not thirst, nor come again all the way to draw you water." She realized that Jesus was saying something, but she didn't want her whole life to be changed. She only wanted her needs to be met. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
You carry a message to change her life, to put a pattern of worship inside her. Make sure that she becomes rise to full potential. But she wants what you have, but she only wants her needs to be met. She don't want to go further. But is Jesus going to let her go? Thank God He doesn't let you go. Sometimes all you want is just have a few things so that you can become a politician. Some of you come here because you have an ambition. Because you think the school will train you for what you want to do. But God has further plans. He's going to kill you. He's going to kill the ambition. You want to pacify the flesh, God wants to kill it. Some of us want to become millionaire. One of the first messages I preached in the business conference is that if God's going to bless you, He's going to try you first. You don't teach things like this in a business conference. Because everybody wants to be blessed and become millionaire. I say, you never even amount to millionaire. If God cannot test and try you, He cannot promote you. Are you listening? That's why He tests us with little. He tests us with little. The man said to me, "When I become a millionaire, I'm going to support the ministry." I say, "You're a liar. If you don't support now, you won't support when you have a million." Are you listening? If you want to give a million to the kingdom of God, you don't need to know how to spell. You already will have learned to spell before you reach a million. Are you listening? Nobody need to help you to spell a million. She knew exactly in her heart, "Give me this water so that I don't have to come every afternoon. Every afternoon I have to come here, it's hot sun. Let me solve my needs. I put the water in me, I don't have to go on. I don't want to be ashamed, embarrass myself. Every time I come out in the afternoon when all the other ladies come out in the morning, I have to come out alone, live a shameful life." And Jesus said, "I'm going to solve not your need, but I'm going to solve your root problem." Are you listening?
Yes.
But you see, many times as pastors, we don't go for the kill. We give people what they want. If they want it hot, give them hot. If they want it cold, give them cold. Are we going to change lives? A seeker-friendly church is not the church God is raising up. The only seeker that I'm friendly with is God the Father. So they ask me, "Is your church seeker-friendly?" I say, "Yes." I say, "Only one seeker, for such the Father seeks." I'm friendly to only one seeker, that's God. Upset them. Lots of you other friends in America, in Australia, in different parts of the world. Because they want everybody. Why do you want so many bodies? The Bible is very clear that Jesus was sure of His mission. Say, "I must be sure
of my mission.
I must be clear of my assignment.
I must be sure
of the strategy. so that I get the job done
and
get God's result
and good result
and results that remain. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
You say, go call your husband and come here. This was a tall order. The man was asking for water, now calling her husband. Go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have correctly said, I have no husband. For you have five husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband. This you have truly said. There's a dimension of life that must in you that must explain what they are going through. Are you here?
Yes.
Are you clear?
Yes.
He said to her, go call your husband. Why did he ask for that? Because that which is above your life shapes you and forms you. Because every man and woman is a product of the environment. The problems that are peculiar to you is because you're living under that. If you live under a different environment, the problems will change. Because there's something above your life that is keeping you in that environment. If you break that, put a new mountain over there, your whole life will change. Don't deal with the problem, because the problem is just a symptom. Put them under a place of protection and covering.
Yes.
If they come under the right order, all will be well.
Yeah.
That's why we spend time counseling, talking until the cows come home. One problem after another. We thought this is pastoral. That's not pastoral. It's a total waste of time.
Yeah.
Why? Because we don't know how to put people under the covering.
Yeah.
Under the protection of what God can. If you bring them under shelter, the roof will protect them.
Yeah.
You don't have to hold an umbrella. You use an umbrella until you come into the house.
Yeah.
Don't you walk around the house with an umbrella.
Yeah.
Am I speaking common sense to you?
Yeah.
That's why. So you're trying to ask this person, now forgive your mother, forgive your grandmother. Then she remember forgive the neighbor too, forgive the neighbor. So by the time you go to 3, 4, 5 persons, it's about 6 hours. Then we have to pray for deliverance. We have to confess every temple we've been, every demon we worship. So by the time we try to recall, remember, they are all living in our minds. Night time we have nightmare because we are calling into existence the things that are not as though they are. Night time we get nightmare. So even though you renounce, they seem to still stay in your memory. All this old technology have to go. We can cast out the demon without shouting. Are you listening? They don't have to break the arm of the usher. Break the guitar, soil the whole place, vomit over all the whole place, throw up all over, and then finally one person is delivered. Do you know how much you have to pay for medical expenses? Nowadays you cannot be sick unless you're rich. Medical fees are expensive. Are you listening?
Yes.
You say to her, go call your husband. That's the authority structure. What you're living under, your covering, your spiritual input, your storehouse, your primary source. All the five were not the primary source. The sixth one was also abusing her. Are you listening? Just by putting you back in the right place, under the right order, set you in place. Sometimes that's all we do. We bring you home.
Yeah.
Are you listening?
Yeah.
That's all we do in our conferences. We're not trying to manipulate anybody, just bring you home. If you come home, you come back to your father. You come back to your brothers. You come back to your inheritance. You are on your own in a distant country. You're with the pigs. You're in the pigsty, the prostitute and harlots. And you waste all your inheritance that you receive. Everything that you have in your life will go in a short while. Because the world will take everything out. Because the devil is the ruler of the earth. He comes to kill, steal and destroy. You get out there, he rob everything out of you. All he requires is one journey. Are you listening?
Yes.
Are you clear in your mind?
Yes.
I trust that this will become clearer and clearer to you so that you'll be a man with a mission to establish the pattern in people's life.
Yes.
A pattern of true worship. It's not worship service. It's selfless sacrifice and honorable service. That pattern can be formed. When you change your life from inside out, things will change. You don't have to sit down and counsel them for every need. Set them in the right place. Then suddenly she realized, "Sir, I perceive you're a prophet." First she said, "You're a man. You're a Jew. You're not greater than our father." So she had all the categories to identify Jesus. Now she said, "Sir, I perceive you're a prophet." For the first time in her spirit, she began to touch something in her own spirit. She said, "I perceive." Her spirit was open. Because the six people she lived under was not the right one. She came under one, the seventh man. Suddenly what she cannot see, she began to see. Eyes became open, ears became open. Jesus was the seventh man in her life. That's why nobody should walk away from you without being changed. If they stay in your presence long enough, they must change. Because you carry a dimension of heaven. That's what church reformation is all about. It's not possible you walk with fire and not be burned. It's not possible that people come to your church and don't get changed. Continue business as usual. All this rubbish that people tell you in seeker-friendly churches about. Let the non-Christian come and just fit in. So that they don't feel guilty at all. If there's nothing to convict them, nothing will convict them. If sinners can feel comfortable in an awesome presence, then there's no reason to be saints. Let me explain this to you. If sinners can come in the presence of God and don't feel guilty, don't feel convicted of sin, they feel normal, they feel okay, then there's no reason for Jesus to die on the cross of Calvary. They must face the awesome presence of God and consciousness of sin must come into their hearts so that they fall on their faces and worship God. How can it be that the church becomes so low in standard that the non-Christian can fit in? What is the common denominator between light and darkness? There's nothing. How can they fit in? They can't fit in. If they come in, they must be exposed. If they come in, they must be sure that they are on the other side of the law. Are you listening?
Yes.
Sometimes you hear because people have built their churches large in number, they think what they say is right. Just because they're big, they cannot call the shots. Are you listening?
Yes.
Talk to me.
Yes.
I want you to think because for the first time, a spirit became open. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered the heart. Then all of a sudden, she started to talk spiritual language. Our fathers worship in this mountain. And you people say that in Jerusalem is a place of men who ought to worship. So she is now beginning to realize, hey, our Father's not only gave us His will, but there's a spiritual dimension of worship that is missing. But our Father's worship in this mountain, you worship in Jerusalem. Jesus began to redirect her, because now she is need to be updated in her information. All she knew was history. Oh, baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, that's all understanding. Are you listening? We have gone further. Jesus was beginning to explain to her truth. Woman, believe me, you, the hour is come. That neither on this mountain or there or here we worship. We must worship in spirit and in truth. It's not what your Father says, it's what my Father says. A lot of times what your fathers have said can confine you. Are you listening? That's why at the end of the day, it's not just what I say, it's what God the Father has to say. It's not this mountain, that mountain. It's not what I like, it's not what I say. If it's not in God's word, then you don't have to listen. If this is what the Father is saying, then this is the truth. Are you listening? See, believe me, you, the hour has come. That not on this mountain or on the other mountain, that we shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. Are you listening? Let's follow the thought. Because I'm going to show you in a moment what's going to happen. God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. So He was laying the pattern down for her. Are you ready to see the pattern?
Yes.
Are you ready to see the pattern of worship?
Yes.
Write down. The pattern of worship is beyond a place. The place where men ought to worship. Every place men ought to worship. Not just in church. Not on this mountain. You must teach the church in true reformation, that worship is not a place. Worship is not associated to a place. Are you listening?
Yes.
Worship is not associated with place. True worship has nothing to do with coming on to a church building. It's not a meeting place. Worship is the centrality of our lives. Writer number two, worship is the worship of the Father. Worship is beyond a place. Number two, worship is the worship of the Father. Number three, knowledge and revelation increases the quality of your worship. You worship what you do not know. You worship what we know, for salvation is of the Jews. Revelation and understanding increases the quality of your worship. If you don't know, you worship less. If you know, you worship more. Worship is measured by how much you know. If you don't know Him, you don't know His worth. Are you following?
Yes.
That's why it's one thing to say, let's worship God more, let's worship God more, let's worship God more. They can't. How can they? Because the knowledge of that God has not been made known to them. You're trying to drive your church, worship God more, worship God more. How are they going to do it? If the encounter is not there. Are you listening? You cannot ask for what they cannot see. Say pattern.
Pattern.
Number four. In verse 23, but an hour is coming, and now is, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And such people the Father seeks to be His worshippers. Write down pattern number four. Are we number four now?
Yes.
Worship must begin in the inner man. Because of the saturation of truth. Worship must begin in the inner man because of the saturation of truth. If truth doesn't come to you, you have nothing to compare. Between light and darkness, between truth and lies. False, ritualistic religion and truth. So truth has to come to your spirit. Truth has to be taught. Truth has to be explained. Then you have something to compare. If you cannot compare, you cannot consider. You cannot consider He is worthy because you cannot compare. But if there is light, then it's easy to compare. You can see that the worth. Are you listening? That's why true worship comes about when begins in the spirit, because you're saturated with truth. You want your church to worship more?
Yes.
Then give them truth.
Yes.
Not truth to the head, but truth to the spirit.
Yes.
Feed the spirit of man.
Yes.
I said feed the spirit of man.
Yes.
No matter how much you ask them, they cannot. Look at Aaron, for example. They came to Aaron and said, make us a god. He said, I'm no god maker, you crazy fellas. The god maker is Moses up on the mountain. He lifts his hand and he called, God comes down. But I can't. But I know the way of Egypt. Give me gold, I put the gold into the fire, out will come out a calf, and we will worship what we create. Are you listening?
Yes.
That's why God has to give us revelation and wisdom and understanding. Yes. Truth must come in the inner man.
Yes.
We must know God in the inner man.
Yes.
Number five. The fifth aspect of the pattern is this. For such people, the worship God is looking for is more than personal. He wants corporate. Worship that God is looking for is corporate, for such people, not such individual. He's looking for people of worship. This is the test of the matter. People think they are true worshippers and yet they hate their brothers and sisters. I don't come for the people in the church. I just go to church and worship God. I don't care who is there. I just worship God on my own. That's not worship God's looking for. That's why Jesus said, if you worship and there's something wrong between you and your brother, sort it out. Because I will not accept what is not acceptable. Even if you come to worship. Their qualifications. It is with the people.
Yes.
Are you listening?
Yes.
Talk to me.
Yes.
That's why a lot of people go to church. I don't care who is there. Just come to church and worship God alone. Don't worry about the others. They hate you, you hate them, doesn't matter. You just go to church, close your eyes and just worship God alone. It's a new religion of idolatry. True worship is corporate.
Yes.
You must synchronize and be clear and be clean with everybody.
Yes.
So that your worship is acceptable.
Yes.
I don't know what kind of religion we serve. Even sometimes the leaders encourage the people to just come. When you come, don't look at them. Just close your eyes and just worship Jesus. And He will touch you and change you. He is far away from you. But yet we have this theory. All because we want to get somebody to attendance. Attend the church meeting. Not God meeting. We want people to encounter God. Sorry, I'm explaining to you so graphically. Because this is what happens every week. You go to church, you don't care. If they are sitting on this side, you look this way and worship God. If they are sitting in the front, before you, you go and sit in front of them so that you don't see them. You seek Jesus only. I'm catching some of you here this morning. Number 6. True worship draws God the Father. True worship draws God the Father, and you become His. And you become His. If you're operating in true worship, you become His. You become God's own possession. That's why God always dwells with worshippers. You know why I like mom? Because she draws God. If she worships, I close one eye, see the other. Because there's something about a freedom to worship. She's so free, not just in the movements. Just so free in her heart. True worshippers belong to Him. They are His. There's a mark of God upon their lives. I'm talking about patterns here. They said the favor of God, the favor of man will be upon us. All you've got to do is teach your people to become true worshippers. They become God's own possession. Are you listening?
Yes.
Can I give you number 7?
Yes.
God is His Spirit. God is Spirit. And those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Write down, true worship connects with the source of all spirits. True worship helps us connect with the source of all spirits. That is God Himself. God is the source of all spirits. He is the supplier of life. God is Spirit, not a spirit, God is Spirit. God is not a spirit, He is Spirit. Source of all life. If you're a true worshipper, you know the source of all spirit. And one of the most powerful things is this: if you know Him, you'll know men. Because man was created in the image and likeness of God. If you can touch Him, you can touch any spirit. Are you listening?
Yes.
If you can touch God, who is the source of all spirit, you can touch any spirit. You can touch angelic spirit, you can touch the spirit of man. You can deal with demonic spirits, unclean spirits, you can identify them. The ability to discern will be your portion. Say, God is Spirit,
God is Spirit.
Not a spirit.
Not a spirit.
He is the source of all spirit. So when you worship Him, you must worship Him as the source of all spirit. I don't have time, but if you remember, when God created man, He created man in His own image, in His own likeness.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
What is the image of God? What is the likeness? It's a spirit dimension.
Yes.
Features may be different, but the dimension of the spirit. When God created man, He created man as three part in one. Because He said, let us make man, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when God made you, He took the image of the Holy Spirit, the Son, the Father, put all three together and made one. That's why Satan hates you. Because He was just created out of nothing. By the power of His word, God said, let there be angels, there were angels. But you, God, took time. He took time, He took plan. He took design, He took material. He chose the material. He chose the imprint, the blueprint. That's why you are special. Are you listening? You have the capacity, body, soul, and spirit, for the three to work as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Are you listening?
Yes.
That's why you have to present your body to Him as a living sacrifice.
Yes.
Be renewed in your mind.
Yes.
So that you can present yourself completely to God as a reasonable form of worship.
Yes.
Are you listening?
Yes.
Romans 12 verse 1 to verse 3. If you cannot understand this, then worship will not be possible. The essence of the Father, essence of the Son, essence of the Holy Spirit, all three combined together made one human life. Can you imagine if all the three dimensions work itself well? Scientists think that we're only using 10% of our brain.
Yeah.
If people are using 10% of the brain and they get this far, think what other 90% will do.
Yeah.
And we've seen the power of the human spirit. The person has one leg and yet is a world champion skiing.
Yeah.
One leg, you cannot balance. And yet they come down the slope. The triumph of the human spirit.
Yeah.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
No hands, no feet. And yet they do body surfing. How do you ever think of that?
Yeah.
Make possible what's impossible.
Yeah.
There's a divine capacity inside us.
Yeah.
Are you listening?
Yeah.
There's a divine capacity inside us.
Yeah.
That makes us like God. Not that we are God, but we are capacity.
Yes.
So that we can do what we meant to do.
Yes.
But sin came to destroy that.
Yeah.
To reduce that. Limitation came. That's why everything we want to do, we just get locked into the sin pathway.
Yeah.
But the true pattern of life is this. When true worship comes into your heart, you become liberated.
Yeah.
You become free. That's why she said, the Messiah is coming. He will tell us all things. From then on, we'll be totally free. She said, He who speaks to you, am He. She realized that she doesn't have all the information that's needed. But when the Messiah comes and sets her free from sin, from the confines, she'll become liberated.
Yes.
Our full potential is about to break forth.
Amen.
You're going to put your water pots down, and you're going to go change the city.
Yes.
You're going to speak to every man that you know, every woman that you know.
Yes.
And you're going to turn them around.
Yes.
In a way that's never happened before.
Yes.
But it must be those who have chosen the assignment. They can liberate through worshippers. This is my mission. My mission is to do the will of God who sent me and to finish His work.
Yes.
If I finish the work, worshippers will be released.
Yes.
Harvesters will be released.
Yes.
Hey, that's chapter 4.
Yeah.
This is your work. John chapter 4. Verse 34, I got about 10 more minutes, I think. I have food to eat that you do not know of. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Are you a finisher?
Yes.
Are you going to accomplish His work?
Yes.
You got to accomplish His work in your people. Are you listening?
Yes.
You've got to accomplish His work in these people.
Yes.
And you've got to make sure that the work is complete.
Yes.
But you doing the will.
Yes.
Finish this work in God's people.
Yes.
Because if we don't finish the work in the people, they cannot be released.
Yes.
There's no harvesters, there's no laborers. There's no selfless sacrifice. That's why we're not seeing, because we keep all our church members half-baked. Nobody is changed properly. Everybody is changed a little bit. Some change their name, but never change their nature. The pattern of true worship is not there. But Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of Him who sent me. So we are sent with a work. Our assignment is people. Don't worry about the fields. Don't worry about the harvest field. Worry about the people. Jesus showed us in Matthew, in John chapter 4, how to set the people free. Put a pattern of true worship inside their heart, and you cannot stop them. I'm telling you, this is what we need to do. We need to go back and put a pattern of God, pattern of true worship, selfless sacrifice, and honorable service into the heart of the people. You do God's will, you change them.
Yes.
Accomplish this work.
Yes.
Are you listening?
Yes.
Is all the talk about pastoring and feeding and caring and sharing and koinonia and all that is useless. Because we haven't accomplished the work. But what is His work? To put the pattern of true worship.
Yes.
Remove all the conflict so that they are totally sold out to God.
Yes.
And set them loose. They will change the world.
Yes.
They bring the world to you.
Yes.
You change them, they go and change others.
Yes.
Are you listening?
Yes.
That's why you cannot take the scripture out of context. My meat is to do the will of Him. And then God opens up other fields, other domains, so that those who are doing the work get the people. And the woman came back. Come see a man who has told me everything about my life. They came and stayed with Jesus for another 2 days. And in the future, Philip went to reap a harvest in Samaria.
Yes.
Are you listening?
Yes.
God will send the next generation to reap where you have sown. But what is God's mission for us? To finish the work.
Yeah.
Let us make man.
Yeah.
On the sixth day He made man. And the Bible says He finished His work.
Yeah.
And He rested on the seventh day. Harvest is a time of rest. You're not laboring anymore.
Yeah.
It's coming to you in abundance. Can you take up the assignment?
Yes.
Are you listening?
Yes.
So don't run services. Change people.
Yes.
Stop preaching sermons. Change lives. Make changing life a priority. Anywhere you go, everywhere you go, change a thought, change an action, change a life. Don't just talk about it. Change people. Amen?
Amen.
And the Bible says she went and turned the whole city around. Verse 39, from that city many of the Samaritans believed because of the word of the woman. And when the Samaritans came, they saw for themselves. Are you listening?
Yes.
Isn't that amazing? I say, isn't that amazing?
Yes.
So do you know what your mission is?
Yes.
Talk to me, do you know what your mission is?
Yes.
Our mission is to accomplish the world.
Yes.
To finish strong.
Yes.
Why we need to finish strong? Because we need to put a pattern of worship in people's heart. The woman was unstoppable. Look at me. I didn't need to be followed up. Nobody visited me. Nobody gave me personal Bible study. Nobody followed me up. Nobody came to encourage me to go to church. One day they forgot to fetch me by van. I ran to church. 7 miles away. Because I was properly touched.
Yeah.
Properly changed.
Yes.
If I cannot walk, I use crutches.
Yeah.
But if I can walk, I don't use them anymore.
Yeah.
Sometimes the church is so handicapped. With all the bricks, what is that? Props to prop the people up. You had to do visitation. Joseph had to be counseled. Did you see Joseph going for counseling sessions in Egypt? He was sobbing, he was in deliverance. He said, my brothers persecuted me, they hate me, they sold me. Confess, because I have this nightmare, this trauma. I see this trauma of betrayal. I see myself in the pit. I will take it out, the pain of sunburn. Are you listening?
Yes.
Somebody was counseling Moses in the desert. He was in the worst place, the backside of the desert. There's a bad place to be. And yet God was watching over him. God makes His own. But the problem is because we make it too soft, we peddle the word. Make it too soft, too easy for everybody. It's not about love, it's about spoiling people. The whole culture of our world today is indulgence. Either we are indulging in ourselves or we are making them indulgent in what we have. It's a entitlement mentality. We have to change. Are you ready to put the pattern back?
Yes.
When God created man in His own image, in His own likeness, He set man in the garden.
Yeah.
And told him, you're on your own. You can handle this earth.
Yeah.
I can handle heaven. Only don't eat from the tree. He named the animals. He guarded everything in the garden, cultivated it. How long, we don't know, but man was capable.
Yes.
You don't need to be supervised. I say you don't need to be supervised. If the pattern is built into you, it's an automatic.
Yes.
You press rewind, it will rewind. Press forward, you go forward. Press record, it will record. Everything will be inbuilt into you. And you've been built not for destruction, you've built not for failure. You're built to finish the assignment. That's why stop getting yourself messed up with sin consciousness, people consciousness, self consciousness, need consciousness, devil consciousness. Are you listening? become so conscious of God. God made you fearfully and wonderfully made. Made you for the assignment. You can do it. You go into every domain, God will give it to you. There is no lack. All grace will abound for you. There will be all sufficiency in all things, so that the provisions of God will be made available. He didn't make you to be incomplete. He made man and He saw that man was very good. He made the planets and the earth, He said it was good. But when He saw man, He saw very good, because they carried a dimension of God inside them. Are you listening? And that's the dimension we are coming back into. So that when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, we are coming to Jesus, the mediator of a better covenant, to the blood, the finished work of Calvary. That's the dimension that is lacking in church. We really don't know what He did for us and what He is doing for us now. The last 4,000 years, the first 4,000 years, the enemy ruled the earth. Sin ruled the earth. Then Jesus came and He turned it around. The last 2,000 years has been established. Are you listening?
Yes.
The last 2,000 years, Jesus sat at the right hand of God. What has He been doing? What He has been doing for the last 2,000 years is what the apostolic need to bring down. The first church was established on what Jesus did, because they saw Him, they walked with Him, they knew Him, they understood Him. The church was born in the book of Acts. Is that right?
Yes.
From the book of Acts until now is 2,000 years and 20 years. 2,000 and 20 years. Is that right? Sorry, 2014 years, 15 years. What has happened since Jesus sat at the right hand of God? What has been taking place? What has come forth? All that dimension must be brought down so that the new church, the last day church, will enter in. This is the apostolic. The apostolic is not mega churches. The apostolic is not numbers. It's the capacity to see Him. To see that pattern and bring the pattern down. Why? Because we need to bring the church back into that pattern. Are you listening? When Jesus sat at the right hand of God, they received the pattern. And the church was born. Now Jesus sat at the right hand for the last 2,000 years. The last day church must enter into all that has happened. 33 and a half years, the church was established. Is that right? Now 2,015 years. What has He done? Do you know what He has done? What has He done? We're not talking about church history. We're talking about what He has done in the Spirit. He cannot be sitting there for 2,000 years and disconnected with His body. So you got to search what God has built in the last 2,000 years in His church. Some things will not pass all the way. Some things will have to go. But there are some things that remain right to the end. That's what the apostolic has to take. And build the foundation for a new church to emerge, called the Church Unusual. Building church, birthing Zion. That's what it means. You think you'll be alert for the afternoon?
Yes.
You think I can show you what happened?
Yep.
With His death, His resurrection, ascension, exaltation, consummation, and return. You sure you'll be ready?
Yes.
There's no true church reformation if you don't follow Him. Because if He is the head, you need to become the body.
Yes.
If what happened to Him did not happen to you, then you're disconnected.
Yes.
Then you'll be limbo on your own. But if He has done it all, then we can start from where he left off.
Yes.
Just like the last church, last day church will be so powerful.
Yeah.
In a single day nations will be born.
Yeah.
Single day cities will be taken.
Yeah.
The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is more than you can understand.
Yeah.
It's not tongues, it's not Pentecostal.
Yeah.
Are you listening?
Yes.
Stand to your feet, let me pray for you. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that supernatural grace will begin to come right now. Supernatural grace will begin to come right now. Let your hand come strong upon our lives. Let your hand come strong upon our lives. Let us find grace to move. Grace to go from one level to another. Become stronger and stronger each day, each hour. Help us, O God. Because you say 2015 is a year of church reformation. Thank you, Lord. Reformation is going to begin in the church, the word dimension, the spirit dimension, life structures. And God, the supernatural grace of God will abound for us. We thank you that none of us is going to be left behind. And you're going to take our churches to the next level, make us strong so that we can turn the world around. We can stop the enemy from plundering the earth, ruling the nations of the world. We're going to step in and take over. We're going to stop this confusion. We're going to stop the attacks of the enemy on the people and bring about a pattern of heavenly worship, selfless sacrifice, and honorable service back to you, that those who worship you in spirit and in truth worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Father, we thank you right now for supernatural grace upon every one of us, that our churches will become better and better, stronger and stronger, then all our people will be ready to do great exploits for you. Thank you, Lord. We just honor you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Maybe see you for a moment.